You might have lived down around the Civic Center. I don't know. You might have been living on Chesapeake Avenue, on Country Road. It's just hard to tell where he might have been living. But he was a very prominent man, and he achieved top place and responsibility in his nation. He must have had a keen mind, highly intelligent, and he must have been an educated man, well read. He could have been a very wealthy man. And perhaps he might have been a man around 60 years of age. And he came to Jesus by night. And he came to make an investigation. This man was empty in his own heart and life. Nicodemus was respected by people. He had social position, he had education, he had wealth, he even had religion. He was a devout man, he was a moral man. Humanly speaking, he was one of the most religious men spoken of in the Bible. In verse 2, he addressed Jesus and called him Rabbi. And can do these miracles except thou doest them, except he be of God. And so Nicodemus had everything. He knew the law. He was a master of the law. He was genuinely moral. But Nicodemus really is not an isolated case. Nicodemus is an everyday case. I remember some time ago I went to visit a family. I sat down in the home, and immediately the wife said to me, "I am glad you've come to visit." She said, "I want you to talk to my husband." Well, that put a new light on things. Her husband was seated there in the room with us. And he said to her, "What do you want him to talk to me about?" And she said, "I want him to talk to you about your soul. You're not saved." But he said, "I'm a church member. I joined the church." But he said, "I'm a pretty good man. I treat you all right," and so on. But she says, "That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you becoming a Christian and being saved." And you know, it was not very long before he began to confess that he made a profession, but he didn't live up to it. He had the name of Christian on him, but he was everything else except living the Christian life. So I say Nicodemus is not an isolated case today, and I felt impressed to talk to you today about becoming a new person. Sometimes we think things are pretty good in our lives. We give God credit for two or three things. And Nicodemus came to Jesus, and he began to say, "Rabbi, you're a great teacher. You're a great man of God. You do miracles." Now I want you to see what happens. Jesus answered him and said, Nicodemus, now let's don't talk about me. Let's talk about you. That's what that woman was saying that night. Let's talk about you. And that's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. Now you come in praising me for all that I'm doing and all that I've done. Now he says, let me talk to you about yourself. And so Jesus began. And he said to him, I say unto you, Nicodemus, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Why must the man be born again? Because the tragedy of sin. God created man, put him in the garden, and gave him some laws to live by. And man tasted of that forbidden fruit and became a sinner and then was doomed to death. And since that time, man has needed to be made over again. That's why you need to be a new person. How does it take place? Very simply, if you have your Bible, look at John 3, verse 4. In verse 4, John says this to Nicodemus, about Nicodemus. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Nicodemus says, how on earth can this experience take place? How in the world can a man have a new birth? How can he be reborn? A man before he's born has eyes, but he cannot see. He has ears, but he cannot hear. And here is a man in his natural state. And before his spiritual eyes are open, he cannot see. He cannot hear the gospel message and understand it. And so here's a man who was living, and yet he was dead. But here was a man who was searching. And he said to Nicodemus, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Sometimes I get amused at people who talk about the new birth. And they talk about born-again Christians. Let me tell you something. There is no other kind of Christian in the world. Unless you are born again with a new life and a new spirit in you, you'll never be a Christian at all. Now Nicodemus said, how can this happen? He was wondering about the mysteries of it. A lot of people wonder about mysteries. There was a preacher one time that preached very, very short sermons. And the people came to him and they said, what on earth? You preach only about 10 minutes. What's wrong with you? Well, the preacher said, you know, I'm having my teeth pulled. And I'm having trouble speaking. And so time went along and everything worked out. He had his teeth extracted, got some new teeth, he began to preach. 45 minutes, preach an hour, preach 2 hours. And so they called on him again. And they said to him, what on earth has happened to you now? Your sermons have gotten too long. Well, he says, I don't know, unless the dentist made a mistake and gave me a set of women's teeth. So there are a lot of mysteries. There are a lot of mysteries in the world that we will never, never, never understand. You know? And we'll never get down to the bottom of them. Now Jesus said to him, it's like the wind, Nicodemus. He said, Nicodemus, listen to the wind. The wind bloweth, in verse 8, where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whither it cometh and whither it goeth. Or so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus, listen to the wind in the night. It's blowing in the trees. No man can tell where that wind comes from or where it goes. And he was trying to get Nicodemus to realize that the Spirit of God works in action. And when the Spirit works, no man knows how the Spirit works. No man can control that Spirit when he does work. No man can track the Spirit when it does work. Never say that you have arrived in your life, in your Christian life, at a certain point. Because you'll never know where the Spirit of God will take you. If you will come under the Spirit of God, He will move you. Never say that your life is fixed. And Nicodemus listened to Jesus, talked to him about this. Why is the new birth imperative? Why is it necessary that a man should have the new birth? Verse 3, look at it. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he must be born again. He'll never see the kingdom of God. I remember one week I conducted the funeral service for a woman 80 years old. She bought a grave lot on Monday. And before Sunday, she was placed in that lot. We never know from day to day how long life is going to be with us. But it is very imperative that we have this new life that only God can give. Dr. Marshall Craig one night was called to the home of a 16-year-old girl. She was sick, lay dying. He walked into the room. He said to her, "Is there something I can do for you?" She said, "Do for me? Are you a preacher?" He said, "Yes, I'm a preacher. And there is very little that I can do as a preacher. But," he said this, "I know Jesus Christ, and He can do something for you." And so he took out his New Testament. He began to read to her about sin. And then he began to read to her about the Savior. And in a few moments, she began to say how sorry she was that she ran away from home. And she said, "I've tasted all of the drugs of life. I've committed every sin imaginable." And then she accepted that Savior. And when she did, Dr. Craig said, she looked up to him in tears and she said, "Isn't it wonderful that Jesus can save a sinner as I am?" It certainly is wonderful that you can become a new person, a new individual, through Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to him, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." What evidences are there that we have experienced the new birth? What are some of the things that we see in a person's life that brings us evidence that we have experienced this birth from on high? We must first of all recognize it is a miracle. It is a miracle. It is the work of God. The early disciples, when they went out, people took stock that they had been with Jesus. And the thing is that it's a miracle that changes life for us. The second thing that is in evidence when we have the new birth, every addition to the church ought to mean a subtraction from the world. When you come and line your life up with the church of God, it ought to be that you're leaving the devil and the world, and you're breaking ranks with his core, and you're going to live a different life. That was the thing that woman was talking to me that night in the living room about her husband. He professed Christianity, but he didn't live it. He lived the opposite way. And she knew that he had never been saved. She knew that he had never experienced the new birth. When you have experienced the new birth, you will receive a new power in your life. There will be something to help you to live daily. You will have a new passion for lost souls. You will be interested in the unsaved people about you. You will also have the assurance that you have eternal life when you experience the new birth. Let me close with this illustration of Dr. Simpson, A.B. Simpson. He worked with a young man, and a young man said to him one day, "Doctor," he said, "as long as I'm with you, I can do the things that are right. I can live right. I do not have evil thoughts, and I can follow as I'm with you. But," he says, "when I get away from your presence, everything changes, and I'm tempted on every hand to live for Satan." Dr. A.B. Simpson said to him this. He said, "Now, friend, what suppose if it were possible for me to get into your life and to enter your body and to become a part of you? How do you think that would influence you?" "Oh," he said, "I think if you could do that." Then he said, "I think I could manage and cope with the temptations of this world and of this life." And then Dr. Simpson, the wise man, said to his friend this. He said, "Did you know that that is exactly what Jesus Christ does? He comes and enters us. We're his temple. And he takes up his residence within us. And then he is there to go with us. And we can live for God because we have his strength and his help to go with us." Listen, that's what the new birth is all about. Life does not begin with winter, fall, or summer. Life begins with a new life, a new beginning. Except a man be born again, he cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. We're going to stop now and give the opportunity for you who have never experienced this to experience it. And you can experience it by coming forward today and publicly saying, "I take Christ into my heart and life." You can experience it today by coming and opening your heart and saying, "I publicly acknowledge that Jesus is my Savior." And you can come and ask him into your life. It's a mystery. Nicodemus, the wind is blowing. Listen to it. You see the evidence of it. Listen today. The Spirit is moving. And the Spirit will touch your life. Right now, if there is something in your heart that's saying to you, I ought to make a decision. I ought to experience a new birth. I ought to become a Christian. Listen, that's the Spirit of God speaking to you. That's not the preacher, but that's God's Spirit talking to you. And what the Spirit is saying to you today is, except ye be born again, you'll never see the kingdom of God. While we sing, wouldn't you come very joyfully and quickly and take your place on the front pew and receive Christ as your Savior? 182 is the number. The Savior is waiting. And as he waits, will you come right now while we stand and sing? Closing part of this invitation, I'm going to ask the choir to sing very softly. Just take one step. And that one step is up to you, and it's easy to do, and yet it's hard. If you're not a member of the church, your membership is somewhere else, and you'd like to make this your church home by moving your letter, I'd invite you to come. Or if you have some other decision, you may be a Christian and you'd like to make this a day of decision, a public recognition of Jesus Christ. You know, that night, it probably was sad. Perhaps Nicodemus went away from Jesus that night without making a decision. We don't know. But it'd be sadder today if you leave this service without making a decision if God's Spirit has touched your heart. It's the Spirit of God. Accept ye, and that's you. Be born again, you'll never see the kingdom of God. While the choir sings, who would quietly slip out of the balcony on the lower floor and make your decision known? While the Lord calls, will you respond? Anyone else who feels led today to make some decision for God as the Spirit leads you? How wonderful it is this morning for those who came and rededicated their lives and consecrated themselves and asked for God's leadership in their lives. How wonderful it is that God still speaks. This has been a beautiful day today. We've had these lovely flowers here. Kathy Adams and Brad White's wedding that have blessed us. And then we've had the wonderful privilege of having some dear, dear friends with us. We're always happy to have Jeff, all of your group of the Nations with us. And there are many others who are scattered around the auditorium and are not here seated with you on this day. I'm sure the Methodists got their share. They're trying to frock a new man out today. But we are glad that y'all came today to be with us. Remember tonight the new members class, and remember also tonight we'll be having a worship service, and I'll be preaching on the subject, It Is Finished. I invite you to come. Well, I haven't forgot. There's some other folks here I want to say hi to. Elizabeth? No. Hi, Elizabeth. She's over in the nursery. and Connie and Hammond. Isn't it nice to see them in our service this morning as they're on vacation, and they've come our way. So you all remember to shake hands with them, and we're really delighted to see you and have you back with us today, Hammond. Connie, would you like to sing a solo? A little bit off the cuff, huh? We're delighted to have you with us. And I see I have some friends from Florida. Aren't you still living in Florida? I got a short memory, but I remember that. And we're happy to have you down here with us. Wetherington? Right. Even got the name, didn't it? Wetherington. I got the name, all right? And then we've got some folks from Richmond down here with us today. And where else have I got visitors from today? I see all the college young people are home. We're happy to have you. And we got the captain of the ship. She's here. And we're happy to have each of you in this service. And all who are visiting today, let me say to you, we're really delighted to have you today. And I hope that you'll take time to shake hands with somebody before you leave and get acquainted with some of our members. Come back and visit with us whenever it's possible for you to do so. But by all means, be in church next Sunday somewhere. Don't lay out of church, even when you're on. That's what I like about Hammond and Connie. You know, when I go on vacation, you know, most people think, oh, that's the time to take vacation from God. But we need to go to church. We need to worship God wherever we are, every week. And that will bless us indeed. Let us pray together. Our Father and our God, indeed we are grateful for this day. We are thankful today for Connie and Hammond and all of these others who have come and who are worshiping with us as guests. We know that each of us have been blessed because we've been in God's house. Use the message today of Nicodemus to strengthen us, our own faith and our own confession of faith, knowing that with certainty we have assurance when we have expressed our faith in Jesus Christ. And our Father, make this a holy day because it's thy day, and may it be a blessed day because we're living it by faith in Jesus' name.
And give you peace.
And give you peace.
And give you peace.
And give you peace.